We continue our annual series of interviews with party leaders today, and we're joined in studio now by the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. Micheál Martin, you're very welcome to the studio and thanks for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you very much indeed, Justin.
For a lot of people, this election is about trust. It's about who do you trust to manage the economy, who do you trust to deal with the housing market, with their jobs and their livelihoods. And when you took over as party leader, you apologised for the mistakes that you and your government made when you were in charge of those things in the past. Do you accept that there are still people who are scarred by the approach that Fianna Fáil took to the economy the last time you were in government?
There is no doubt that the global economic and financial meltdown of 2008 onwards has left a lot of people scarred. And we certainly made mistakes in terms of reducing taxation too much and raising public expenditure at the time too much. But in the teeth of that crisis, the late Brian Lenihan did produce a National Economic Recovery Plan. We implemented two-thirds of that. And in opposition, I would argue, for the last 9 years, I don't think you have seen a more constructive opposition ever in the history of this country, which has been constructive, which has been policy-driven, solution-driven, and in the last 5 years in particular, has facilitated four budgets from the opposition benches, but, albeit on a policy basis that we insisted on certain policy
but
implications.
But people will look at your record in government, and particularly the last time you were in government, and it's a bit like you're asking people to trust you again. It's a bit like someone giving you the keys of their car when they've crashed. Well, you've crashed it before.
Well, I would invite you to talk to anybody in the education world. And I can tell you for one thing, they trust me in relation to education policy and the type of things I did in relation to radically changing the situation for special needs children in 1998, giving them the first pupil-teacher ratio for children with autism, for example.
Yeah, but we're talking about what happened prior to the crash and your handling of the economy.
Yeah, and you're talking about Fianna Fáil in government and when I was in government and when I was a minister, and you're talking about trust. And I'm saying people, I'll give you an example in the education world, be it third level, primary or second level, trust my instincts about helping children, for example, who are early school leavers to complete their Leaving Cert and get through education. Trust my instincts on special needs and what I did and on research. It was I who brought in the first major radical research investment programme, PRTLI, into third level education in this country under the Department of Education and Science. And likewise in health, in terms of the transformation of nurse education through the introduction of the new nursing degree programme, for example, which I did within my 4 years in health, along with much, much more in terms of the cardiovascular strategy, which changed fundamentally the way we dealt with cardiac disease in this country, and also the cancer centres that we created. And I can go through the other government departments as well. And I've acknowledged that mistakes were made. But you learned from that. And remember, when Fine Gael and the other parties were in opposition that time, they wanted us to spend more and they wanted us to reduce taxes by more and they opposed the pension reserve fund and so on like that.
Well, let's talk about taxes.
Because I think over the last 9 years, people have seen me leading the Fianna Fáil party, the manner in which I've led it from the opposition benches. People still say on the streets right now, thanks for what you did for the last 4 or 5 years and giving this country space and developing a national consensus on Brexit and giving the government space to negotiate on that. That's the kind of thing I think that people respect, acknowledge and I think will reflect upon in terms of this election.
Your finance spokesman, Michael McGrath, said this week that your election manifesto will propose cutting taxes. At a time when the ESRI and the Fiscal Advisory Council and others are warning that the corporation tax take is likely to fall, why would you propose narrowing the tax base?
Well, we will be proposing very modest tax reductions. Overall, we're looking at, in terms of the 11 billion, and we will be within that, and we will be adopting a prudent position in terms of public spending. But nonetheless, we will be looking at about a 3-to-1 split in favour of investment in public services.
3-to-1, not 3.5-to-1, as it says in the paper.
It may be that, and I'm saying minimum, I said, of 3-to-1. It could be more than that. I mean, the detail of that will be announced when the manifesto is announced. But overwhelmingly, it's investment in public services, particularly in housing and particularly in health.
Okay,
because those are the two areas where people out there are angry, are frustrated at the lack of delivery by the Fine Gael-led government.
And what happens if corporation tax returns take a nosedive and fall by more than expected? Because it could be up to 6 billion that that tax take reduces by, according to the Fiscal Advisory Council. How would you deal with that? Would you cut spending, increase taxes, or would you borrow?
Well, Michael McGrath was the person who deserves credit for introducing the rainy day fund, for example, and forced Fine Gael to adopt that as policy to the agreement and the confidence and supply agreement. We will be actually providing a higher level of rainy day fund than Fine Gael are proposing to help to cushion against any potential downturns or difficulties, as you have mentioned. And we are also committing, like we've committed over the last 9 years, to staying within EU fiscal rules and to make sure that we stay within budgetary parameters. And whatever has to happen to enable that happen will happen.
But the rainy day fund is going to take a while to build up, and the potential for corporation tax to fall is imminent.
Well, I haven't read that it's imminent. In fact, depending on who you read, they're saying unlikely in the next number of years. But again, if things happen like that, you have to adjust.
What do you
do? And we're making it very clear to the public that we will adjust in the event of something like that occurring.
Taxes or spending cuts?
You have to adjust all your budgetary parameters. But of course, the most important thing to do is provide for that. And as I have said, we will be providing a more prudent reserve than Fine Gael are providing in terms of the rainy day fund. And we'll also be providing, by the way, additional amounts for what's termed demographics. By that we mean the population living and growing older, which will demand additional funding into the future. Fine Gael are under-providing, as they have for pensioners, for health in terms of ageing population. One of the greatest burdens on burden on health services generally and difficulties they have in terms of costs is the fact that thankfully, we're all living longer, but increasingly, that's creating additional demand on home care packages, the need for home care packages, creating increased demand on emergency services, public health, and so forth. And you need to provide for that into the future. We need to say to people, the state will be there for you in the future. So we will be providing more than Fine Gael are providing, again, in terms of those issues, because we believe in honest budget and not creating kind of budgets where you know, the minute you've written them, that there'll be a supplementary at the end of the year.
I was looking at some of your party's press releases over the past 2 months, and your front bench spokespeople are calling for more money for job creation measures, more money for road infrastructure, more money for education, more money for step down beds, more money for home care packages, as you just mentioned, more money for affordable housing. And that's just the list for the past 2 months. It's all spending, and presumably you're looking for new spending and not what's allocated already. And the criticism will be that it's very reminiscent of the old Fianna Fáil, that you're promising both tax cuts and a spending spree.
Well, you know, Fine Gael in the last month have announced 600 million.
But I'm talking about you.
I know. And I'll deal with that. But maybe you should acknowledge that too, and others should acknowledge that. 600 million in announcements in advance of an election day that the Taoiseach knew and no one else knew. I mean, you may describe that in certain language, but to me it was an attempt to try and soften up the electorate before the general election. From our point of view, I've made it clear to you, we're staying within the financial parameters. We've been in with the Department of Finance. Michael McGrath and Barry Cowan have been in with the Department of Finance officials. And we're very determined, just as we were before the 2016 election, to stay within financial parameters. And that's why we will be concentrating our spending on services, and particularly in health and in housing, because those are the areas that are angering people most. Young people, we have the lowest level of home ownership in this country. Young people are paying excessive rents. They can't look forward to the prospect of owning their own homes. That has to change. We want to move. Fine Gael have created this kind of rental society and a rip-off rental culture. We want to create a society where home ownership is a realistic prospect again for young couples in this country, and also then in the health services.
Okay. We'll come to those in a second, but I just want to ask you about that shopping list of demands for extra spending that I read out there. How are you going to pay for all of that?
Well, can I just say to you, I mean, there's 11 billion has been put aside, but you talk there. It's not all about spending and money. So, for example, 12 months ago, we did secure 300 million and force the government to accept the 300 million affordable purchase for affordable housing. 12 months later, the government didn't deliver on it. We asked the government 12 months ago, we said to them, let's agree to increase the threshold above which local authorities cannot apply for, have to apply for sanction to build houses. At the moment, it's at a ridiculous 2 million. So any scheme over 10 houses, local authorities have to apply for permission and sanction. Now, that's delaying housing projects by about 9 to 12 months. And what I'm saying, and yet that was agreed 12 months ago. And 12 months later, Fine Gael said, well, the officials didn't want to do it. Now, that's the type of absence of detached executive sort of approach that Fine Gael have. We want to replace that with hands-on management. And we want to deliver housing fast. And we want to deliver projects faster than are currently being delivered. I mean, you look at the Children's Hospital, you look at broadband, where 9 years we all agreed we had to do broadband. 9 years. Promise after promise after promise. We then, at the end of the day, just in advance of an election, it's five times higher than was originally estimated. And people talk about us and sort of financial responsibility.
Well, your party wanted to delay it even further.
No, we didn't want, we don't believe it should have gone from 500 million to 3 billion of taxpayers' money. We're being more prudent than Fine Gael in relation to this. The Children's Hospital went from 500 million to 2 billion. And that's unacceptable. And I think, you know, we're not basically taking lectures from a party that has presided and due to hands-off approach to government. I was amazed to see that Simon Harris didn't meet the Children's Board for only twice.
Okay.
And then then we see what happens with that type of hands-off approach.
Well, let's talk about a hands-on approach, because the next government is going to have to be have a hands-on approach in dealing with some very tricky negotiations around the next stage of Brexit, and a trade deal is going to have to be done. And Leo Varadkar is arguing that himself, Simon Coveney and Helen McEntee, that they're the people, the right people to do that deal, because they're the ones who successfully managed things up to now. Don't they have a point?
No, they don't have a point. And I think, to be fair to Fianna Fáil and our leadership on this as well, we strengthened the overall Irish position going into the Brexit talks in the first instance. And we've been, you know, we've been very consistent on it. And I would make the point, by the way, though, that we are potentially, when people say we successfully negotiated, I mean, the way Boris Johnson is going now, we're looking at a harder Brexit than the May deal. Theresa May's deal would have been a better Brexit for Ireland. We'd have stayed in the, Britain would have stayed in the customs union and the single market. And Europe will have a difficult time negotiating with Britain in the coming months on the trade deal. And I don't think it's likely to get a trade deal by before the end of the year. But I've successfully concluded, you know, been involved in negotiations on a European Union treaty, the Lisbon Treaty. I've been involved in negotiations in terms of the devolution of justice in Northern Ireland. Yeah, we have the experience and the capacity, along with the Irish team in general.
But your foreign affairs spokesman didn't even appear at your Brexit press conference.
No, look, in terms of I will appoint a cabinet if the electorate decide to put their trust in Fianna Fáil. Leo Varadkar has said, for example, that he wants to reappoint Owen Murphy in housing and Simon Harris in health. Traditionally, that doesn't, you know, in terms of what happens after an election in terms of government formation. But we have the capacity and the experience. And you know,
would you be
that Lisa Chambers has been a very effective and high-calibre spokesperson, but also responsible. And I think it's kind of sad that Fine Gael have taken, just at the start of the election, to sort of undermining Fianna Fáil people and dismissing us in terms of Brexit, when privately, long in advance of all of this, they've been privately admitting to people that Fianna Fáil have been constructive and decent and their bona fide is proven in terms of the national interest. By the way, on the hustings, people are saying to me, they thank me for the role we played in relation to Brexit. Okay. There has been a national consensus on Brexit. We have a strong diplomatic team. And the bottom line is this: we will work with our European colleagues to try and persuade Britain to go the sensible route in terms of its future trading relationship with the European Union. Currently, I think there are no worries in terms of how the UK Conservative government is going on that. But I think fundamentally that national consensus will stay in Ireland, is my heartfelt belief.
You mentioned you will appoint a cabinet. Might Timmy Dooley or Niall Collins be in that cabinet?
I'm not going into individuals or personalities. But Suffice to say that we have a very strong panel of people across the parliamentary party. I'm not even contemplating that at the moment, because the election has only begun. We will be fighting to win seats. Every constituency will be very hard fought for. I'm taking nothing for granted.
You were obviously concerned enough to demote them from your front bench following the voting scandal. Are you saying now that you're not ruling them out of
cabinet? I did what I did. Judge me by my actions, and I took actions on that occasion in my response to that issue. From my perspective, in terms of the next, you know, what happens after the election, obviously, that's a matter that I will decide upon in terms of the broad range of that. I'm not going
to
be ruling people in and ruling people. I don't think that's fair. I think the electorate will make its judgments in relation to that.
How is it that they're not suitable for your front bench, but you can't rule them out for cabinet?
But Justin, I as a basic rule of thumb, leaders don't get in prior to a general election speculating and discussing who forms, who becomes in part of a government team in after a general election, if that was to be the result or the outcome. That's generally the position. I have no intention of breaking that right now. And I'll just make the general point here. We have very good quality people. I've mentioned Lisa Chambers. You have people like Frank O'Rourke and James Lawless in Kildare, very talented people. Michael McGrath, obviously, is a very serious politician in terms of the budget side of it. And there are many, many more. And I think we'd like to think after the next general election, actually, that we'll have a new and exciting generation of politicians coming in, not just to the party, but into politics in general.
Crime was a big issue this week. We've seen gangland crime reach new levels of depravity in the last week or so, especially around the butchering of Cian Mulready Woods. And then there was a double shooting in Ballymun and a stabbing down in Cork, which was obviously very tragic as well. I suppose dealing with the gangland issue, the response to your party has been to propose a new law to allow the opinion of a chief superintendent to be used to convict gangland criminals. But that very same suggestion was made. It was dismissed by your own party as unconstitutional back in 2008.
First of all, I would say to you that the level of crime now, but it's not just the level of it, actually. It's the extreme nature of that violence is shocking the Irish people. And when a young child, essentially, gets dismembered by gets murdered and then his body dismembered by a narco terrorist gang and distributed to his family, the Irish people didn't think that happened in this country. And likewise, we had there's been other examples.
I want to see
why we're proposing it. You know, a young boy played underage football for his county in Waterford is the subject of an acid attack and others. People are shocked. They feel the country is heading and emerging into a more darkened and emboldened type of crime. It has to be got rid of. And the Interpol study tells us that these gang lords are reaching into every parish around this country and parents want us to stop it. Now, I'm saying to you, we defeated the Provost and the Provisional IRA threat by a mechanism such as that in the Chief Superintendent and other mechanisms, whereby the word of a Chief Superintendent was admissible in evidence. If it is, and Jim McCallan, who is a senior barrister in his own right, has made this commitment in terms of strengthening the existing laws around gangland crime and around nailing people who are directing this kind of criminal activity. And if it needs a constitutional amendment, so be it. We will do it. I can tell you this. The country is awash with drugs. It's in every parish. We're following what's happening in the United Kingdom. The same patterns are happening. These gangs have to be smashed, Justin. And the people want the state to protect them. I was in Drogheda during the week and a young mother came to the door and said the helicopters are whirring at night time over our houses. Our kids are asking us what is going on. It has to stop. We're going to stop it. And no matter what it takes, we will stop it. But in parallel with that, we will restore what we did best when we were in government. We will support communities as well that need support. And support for whom was stripped by Fine Gael over the last 8 or 9 years. And I'm talking about the drug task force areas and building up and looking at school leaving programmes and getting young people on the right route. Because there's a story behind Cian Mulready was basically a young lad that was snatched, if you like, from the right path by the gangs and got into the distribution of drugs and the selling of drugs and all of that. We got to stop that. And that's the story around the country, unfortunately.
Now, time is slightly against us. I want to talk about housing. How many houses would Fianna Fáil build next year if it's in government?
Well, our housing programme will be announced on Tuesday. And Dara O'Brien will be going into greater detail in terms of the numbers and so on. But suffice to say this, it will be the largest part of our overall expenditure.
More or less than the 34,000 that the central bank says we need?
We will be building more than that.
Next year?
Next year and years after that.
Okay. The Sunday Independent says today that your party plans a savings scheme for first-time buyers, which could result in them getting €10,000 in state support to buy a house. Is that right?
That's correct. And we have a detailed scheme.
Will that be capped in terms of the amount of money available?
There'll be an overall cap on it.
And is it for new houses or for for both
new houses and second-hand houses. And it's about affordability. And it's about bringing back the whole idea that young people in this country can aspire to home ownership.
Won't that drive and up also, the price of houses?
In our view, it will not drive up the price of houses. At the moment, what's being driven up is the rents. And what's killing young people, their wage packets, and undermining them is the high cost of rent. So much so that the young people can't save for a deposit. And we want to work within central bank frameworks. So we have to help young people to save and assist them in getting a deposit together to enable them to buy a house. And affordability matters in relation to this. But this is just one part of an overall comprehensive series of policies designed to deal with housing once and for all. We're not going to just let it alone to the market to solve this, because it hasn't solved it for the last 9 years. And I think it's for Fianna Fáil, a party that always aspired for home ownership. The fact that we're now at the lowest levels of home ownership since 1971 is something that hurts us and angers us, and we want to reverse that process.
And briefly, your party supported a Sinn Féin proposal on rent to freeze rents in the Dáil last year. Would you implement a rent freeze if you were in government?
Darragh O'Brien was very clear in his second stage speech on that. That's in our view, we felt it should be considered and examined, but we didn't commit to it.
But you said in the Dáil on November 12th, you said the prediction of another 10 years of rent misery for young people and young couples demands dramatic change in scale of response in terms of house building and a rent freeze.
It certainly does demand a dramatic response. And Darragh O'Brien will outline our policies on Tuesday. But we did say in the Dáil, and we made it clear, that we wanted to examine the full implications of that in terms of the supply side of the equation. But we do believe rents have to be controlled. There's no question about that. Rents cannot be allowed climb to the level that they've climbed and continue climbing at that level. It's just not sustainable, and we have to obviously clearly restrict that, and we'll be outlining our policies in relation to that, as we will in relation to land hoarding as well.
Okay.
And putting levies on people who are
hoarding land. And we'll hear all of that later in the week. Now, I just very briefly I want to ask you about that opinion poll in the Sunday Times today, putting your party 12 points ahead of Fine Gael. You're on 32%. It is an opinion poll. It is a snapshot in time. The real poll is on the day of the election and all of that. But did you allow yourself a smile this morning?
No, actually, the opposite. When I, you remember before 2016, I dismissed polls. And I think we have to be very careful of national polls in terms of a general election. And that has been my experience, particularly before 2016 and in all the local elections since. The individual constituencies are key, the different candidates, and national polls do not reflect that. Also, I think it's fair to say that polls have fluctuated in the recent past quite significantly. And so we get a lot of fluctuation from poll to poll. And I would anticipate that the next poll will be significantly different to this poll. Maybe different methodologies apply. And it isn't, I accept what has been said by commentators, that it's not an election poll as such. It was taken in advance of the election. I think it reflects, if it reflects anything, and what probably got missed was there was deep anger over Christmas, deep anger over the flu crisis and the trolley crisis.
All right.
Because people felt it could have been preempted by actions, for example, in terms of discharge beds and people, the government should have been much quicker off the mark in October and November in terms of intervening to make sure people didn't have to go through the agony that they went through in emergency departments. And I think that was perhaps reflected in the poll.
Well, we'll hear more from you during the week as you announce your manifesto later this week. Micheál Martin, leader of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us on This Week.